A tread creaked on the stairs at last. Leia made her appearance, but it was only to intimate that tea was ready in Mrs. Fairfax's room. Thither I repaired, glad at least to go downstairs, for that brought me, I imagined, nearer to Mr. Rochester's presence. "You must want your tea," said the good lady as I joined her. "You ate so little at dinner." "I'm afraid," she continued, "you're not well today. You look flushed and feverish."
"Oh, quite well. I never felt better."
"Then you must prove it by evincing a good appetite. Will you fill the teapot while I knit off this needle?" Having completed her task, she rose to draw down the blind, which she had hitherto kept up, by way, I suppose, of making the most of daylight, though dusk was now fast deepening into total obscurity. "It is fair tonight," said she, as she looked through the panes. "They're not starlight. Mr. Rochester has, on the whole, had a favourable day for his journey."
"Journey? Is Mr. Rochester gone anywhere? I did not know he was out."
"Oh, he set off the moment he had breakfasted. He's gone to the Lees, Mr. Eshton's place, 10 miles on the other side of Millcote. I believe there is quite a party assembled there. Lord Ingram, Sir George Lynn, Colonel Dent, and others."
"Do you expect him back tonight?"
"No, nor tomorrow either. I should think he is very likely to stay a week or more. When these fine, fashionable people get together, they're so surrounded by elegance and gaiety, so well provided with all that can please and entertain, they are in no hurry to separate. Gentlemen, especially, are often in request on such occasions, and Mr. Rochester is so talented and so lively in society that I believe he's a general favourite.